Well, what does she earn? Why is she better off than us? We were pious people. Francisca replied, you know, I found out. God was more pleased with her than with us. She did more to please God than you and I. Well, what? She was just a peddler. And Francisca said, you have forgotten, she gave birth to 22 children. Don't you think that with so many children she deserved heaven? And she had to peddle, she had no bread and no milk for her children. She had to go, her husband didn't earn enough, they all had to peddle. Oh yes, she had to peddle, that was clear to me. And she was doing so well here because she had so many children. Is that the only reason she deserved heaven? Then I said to Francisca, after all, I have 2 children too, and I dedicated both of them to God. Doesn't it count that I have a daughter who is a nun and a son who is a priest? Doesn't that count? Oh, apparently not, she replied. Apparently she has more merit than you and I. But then she encouraged me again, saying that I should start working, because when Barbara came to visit me, I would be ashamed of my appearance. Because I should see what she would look like and how I would look in comparison. I said, fine, I'll see. Perhaps Barbara can help me too. After all, I have bought something from her now and then in my life. And Barbara came to visit me and I was speechless. I couldn't find any words for this Barbara. But then I managed to say it and said to her, you were only a peddler. Yes, she said, I was a peddler. God has rewarded me for my hard work, my sacrifice, my love for the children and my bravery. God has given me the reward for it. I have always lived honestly, despite having 22 children. Yes, that could be true, but I couldn't understand that someone is so beautiful just because they have had so many children. Well, Barbara didn't bother to talk to me any longer, but gave me a pair of shoelaces and said, here, tie your shoes together so you can walk better. She promised that she would come again to see how I was doing. So I tied my shoes together with these shoelaces and then went to visit my former neighbor Francisca again. When I saw her now, I noticed that she was wearing a beautiful shawl around her shoulders. She took off the scarf in front of me, tied it into a belt and showed herself to me as if she wanted to say, you see, I look better than you. I wanted to know who she had gotten the piece from and she answered, Barbara brought it to me, you know, I have given her something too on occasion. And you got this piece for it, while I only got a pair of shoelaces from her. Then she consoled me by saying, perhaps you will get something later. I had to be satisfied with this answer again and was again asked to come to work. But I simply could not bring myself to do it. As I was once again looking around the village for new acquaintances, someone, I saw him from a distance, who was very elegantly dressed, came towards me with long strides. He asked me and wanted to know my name and where I came from. I was a little shocked, but it was clear to me, he was not one of our people, but an angel. So I had to answer, and he asked, why aren't you at work? I was baffled and said, yes, after all, nobody took me to work. So he took me by the hand and led me with quick steps through all these paths to that field. And then I saw all of them, who lived in this big house, working in this field. There was flowers, bushes, trees, there were stones. They dug up and moved things. People seemed to disagree with a lot of things, how things were done. They were taught what belonged where. They had to dig up this spiritual earth again and plant these flowers fresh. Now this angel said to me, this is your work too, you have to work here too. That was a new world for me. But I didn't dare contradict him and ask why we had to work here with these plants, bushes and flowers, why we needed our hands for that, when I believed that all of that would grow on its own in the kingdom of heaven. Yes. He saw what I was thinking, but he answered me, you will find the instruction for that when you have done your work for a while. So they showed me how I should work. Now I noticed that more and more brothers and sisters were coming and bringing plants and all kinds of things. Everything seemed to be in precise order. Everything had to be planted properly, had to be used according to a predetermined plan. Then I was taught, go back to the earthly realm, go out into the field, go into a garden, watch how the flowers are bent, how the bushes are pruned, look at how the trees are felled. Yes, I didn't think that was anything special. Then I was told, there is life in that, spiritual life, there is life in these flowers, in these bushes, in all these things, and by human hands its life is broken, the plants wither. But spiritual life cannot be broken. The spiritual life, of this earthly plant world, moves here into this sphere. It is the parallel stage to growth and prosperity on earth. And what humans have to look after and organize, the otherworldly beings have to look after and organize too. They have to support and help the lower life. Later, much later, you will experience and learn how it is transformed. But for the time being, this returned life is planted as a spiritual plant in the spiritual earth among its kind. So these brothers and sisters had to work. I couldn't understand it for a long time. And I had to work too. Then I met with Franziska again and she seemed pleased that I had finally decided to work. She said to me, you will soon have a different outfit if you work as hard as you have been. I replied, I don't mind the way I look. I don't want to change my outfit at all. I would rather have something different than a new outfit. What? She wanted to know. I answered, do you really think I could enjoy this life in this communal house that looks like a factory, and with all those who express so many bad habits? I don't like that. I'm going to work now, but I'm working so that I can buy my own house. Francisco answered me, it will probably take a long time before you get that far. And I said, I will do it, I'm going to work now, I want my own house. Now there was a party and we were invited to it. It was a large hall a little way away from the village. But only those who had worked hard, who had been awarded for their work, were allowed to take part in the party. But I hadn't received any awards. While the others streamed to the hall with joy, cheers and singing, I stayed behind. I had no access to the party. Nevertheless, I wanted to try to go because I thought it might be possible to get in after all. But it wasn't possible. They put me aside and told me that I hadn't worked that much and didn't deserve an award. It would be necessary to work a little more in order to get an award soon. They also made a somewhat disparaging remark about my appearance. I then went back and had to wait until the others came back from the party. I asked them to tell me what they had experienced. They were all in such a happy mood and they came back with presents. I saw that they had actually received nothing other than new clothes, a jacket, another dress or other objects, and I didn't think it was all that important. At the time I couldn't see that this was supposed to be a special reward. But then the stern one came to me again, this angel, and he told me to do my work diligently from now on. First and foremost I had to make sure I got a different coat. Then he stood in front of me and said, look how neglected you are, how your clothes look. You look very shabby. In your lifetime you would not have given a hand to someone who looked like that. Yes, was it really like that? I looked at myself. Yes, I really didn't look particularly beautiful. The angel continued, if you want to get out of this village, you can only do it if you look better than a beggar. A beggar? I'm not a beggar. And he repeated, you are a beggar, you look like a beggar. Then I said, I have a daughter and a son, you know that. Yes, we know that. Nevertheless, you remain a beggar, because you want to point out their merits. But that's not possible, you have to work yourself. As long as you look like a beggar, you can't leave this village and least of all the house you're in. I replied that the others were just like me, we lived together, so the others were beggars too. No, I was the poorest of all, he said, the others had already made a step forward, but I had not. Now another angel of God came to me and he seemed to be very strict with me. He said that from now on he would always stand there in front of the house, receive me and reprimand me if I had done too little and talked about unimportant things. And so it was, he not only stood in front of the entrance to my room, I always saw him very close to me. It was as if he was only looking at me. Now I had to work, be obedient and worry less about the others and only about myself. And so I got involved. I had no other choice, because I was afraid of this strict angel. Because Franziska came to me and said, "If you don't work anymore, you will be taken out and you will be in a very bad way." She warned me, she knew it. Barbara had told her. Of course I didn't want things to go badly for me, so I got involved, worked and prayed with the others. I started to think about my life, why I had to work so hard in the spiritual world, while others had it much easier, didn't have to work as hard and didn't pay as much attention to them as I did. Now it became clear to me, I had to catch up on something, I had to work in the spiritual world now because I hadn't done it in my earthly life and didn't want to do it because I had no understanding for those who had worked hard. Now I had to do it myself. I then did my work with the best of my strength and will, as was required of me. In return I was given a different skirt. So I could take off my shabby skirt, and with this new skirt I felt like I looked like an angel. Suddenly I got it. Because I could see that the others had much more respect for me and now behaved completely differently towards me. Outward appearance could make a difference, that was now clear to me. It was not for nothing that God's angels looked so elegant and wore such expensive garments. They then explained to me that they too had to earn it piece by piece. The hems of their garments were set with precious stones, and they said that they had to acquire each stone and in return had to give understanding, love and sacrifice and everything that is required of an angel. The angels were also rewarded for their loyalty, for their willingness to help, for their patience. They would each time receive more beautiful garments. And I saw it, when someone came with rustling garments, in their splendor of color, in their brilliance, everyone bowed their heads to the spiritual earth and hardly dared to look up out of sheer awe, because they said, "He comes from far away, he is very close to God. Just look at his splendor." We were told that we had to fight for these things and for much, much more, because we were to be allowed to take possession of the kingdom of God again. But this was not possible without work. In some area you had to give your full commitment and work with all your strength, then you would be rewarded. That was what happened to me. It was a bad time for me. Today I cannot understand why I did not see that I had lived wrongly as a person, that I was so selfish and believed that I would please God if I would buy us, righteous children. I did not think about my mistakes, I did not think about the fact that I had put my life far too little into the service of my neighbor. So I had to go through a hard purification before I was allowed to leave this village. I was encouraged to work by Franziska and Barbara, who warned me again and again. When Franziska had long since left the village, the two of them kept coming to me to remind me that I must not slack off. So I had earned some merit. First of all a better appearance. Then I had to visit the schools and was taught and instructed about many things that were new to me. Later I was allowed to put myself in the service of my neighbor. I no longer had to do the same work, but I was only supposed to be concerned about bringing spiritual well-being to other brothers and sisters. I was supposed to take them away from earthly, burdensome thoughts. I was supposed to be concerned about their spiritual well-being and work for it. It was hard for me. If someone wanted to bring someone spiritual well-being, they wouldn't accept it, they didn't want to, just as I hadn't wanted to work. And so I had to go looking and stay with those who were willing to have their souls healed. I climbed slowly step by step. I was then allowed to work in the divine workshops, where only artists work. I could help as a servant to gain insight into the work of the divine world. So I was transferred from one level to another. I looked after the people where I was placed, and I looked after the brothers and sisters in the afterlife where I was asked to. In this way I found a connection with the obedient, blessed spirits. And so I carry out my work with them in the great community of Jesus Christ and am under the rule of God. Dear brothers and sisters, I have tried to tell you about my early days in the spiritual world. The higher brothers and sisters have made it possible for me to find my way back to that time. They have brought my past back to life for me bit by bit, and so I should explain this to you. And it should be a lesson for you. You should realize, what is done wrong in earthly life must definitely be made right in the other, afterlife, and that the greatest offenses of people are lovelessness and hardness of heart. For that woman, of whom I said she was only a peddler, she had to make so many sacrifices for her children, she had to go through many worries and yet was a loving mother. I, on the other hand, had a pleasant life. I had no worries about my daily bread. But I had exposed too much to others, had seen too much of what they did wrong, while I did not see my own mistakes. So I had to go this way. Dear brothers and sisters, this should be a reminder to you of the high and great law, love God above all else and your neighbor as yourself, Matthew 22:37-39. Do much good to your neighbor, make his life pleasant and do not burden him with any of your words, make his life pleasant. So, dear brothers and sisters, I withdraw. In the course of the story I have sometimes chosen the wrong word and I ask you to excuse it. May God's blessing be upon you. God's greetings. Joseph, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, I am prepared to answer questions as best as I can, which are primarily related to what has been said. Dear spiritual friend, did Hannah dedicate her children to God against their will? Joseph, you cannot say that she did it against the children's will. But the great intention was that she would then have special merits in the kingdom of heaven. Hannah said nothing about seeing her children again. Did she not see them again in the world beyond? Joseph, yes, yes, they saw each other again later. The explanations she gave today are simply an excerpt from her first time in the beyond. Does Hannah's life lie about 100 years ago? Joseph, yes. Dear Joseph, Hannah reported how she met various acquaintances from her earthly home again in her spiritual village. Was this how it was done? Because this meeting of billions of deceased people should be considered a miracle, if not a coincidence, in our eyes. Joseph, in the first few decades, let's say in earthly time, those who were related to each other or knew each other in this way in life are connected by a bond. This bond will then dissolve later or depending on their development. But you must not imagine that people are brought together like this in all cases. A being can also be led into a sphere where there are deceased people who lived as humans in India, Japan or China and who still look the same in the world beyond as they did in their earthly life. They then continue to develop there. That also happens. Members of other religions are also brought together with Christians according to their development. In the spiritual world, everyone will pursue the same goal, they will all be enlightened about the real truth, and there will only be one path that they will take together. But before that, there is a lot to overcome, there are many preliminary stages that are necessary and beneficial for these beings. Report of the ascending spirit being Hannah and answers to questions from spirit teacher Joseph by mediator Beatrice Brunner in the hall on Munchhaldenstrasse, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Headline, next case. June 3, 1964. The nurse, caregiver Anton, return of a deserving soul. How Anton was enabled in the afterlife to facilitate the purification of poor souls. Control Spirit. God bless you. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, a spirit being is speaking to you with the name Anton. May God's blessing strengthen you, may God's blessing accompany you. God bless you. Anton, God bless you. My name is Anton. Dear brothers and sisters, I am trying to tell you about my impressions in the spirit world. When I entered the soul world, I was greeted by my parents. They hugged me and explained the following to me. Before I had passed over, the news had gone through the sphere I was to enter that a spirit being would be entering, and that they should be happy about it. The name was also mentioned straight away. It was explained very clearly to these brothers and sisters that a male being named Anton would now arrive and that his parents were also in this sphere. This Anton had merits to show, and so they would then enter a larger area of grace with this soul. So in a certain sense I was to bring grace to the unfortunate and the seekers after my passage into the world beyond. When I was greeted, not only my parents were there, but so many beings. But I didn't even know half of them. There were some there who had lived with me on earth. Some of them had sad faces, others called out and cheered me on. So, at the first moment when I opened my eyes, there were actually many people I knew there. But then I realized that they were being led away again. I was supported by both arms, even though I was feeling quite well. I had been ill for a long time and had been in pain. My body had made me uncomfortable before I died. But now that I had left this body, I felt quite well, and yet I was supported on both sides. The spiritual friends who guided me took me to a hall in a magnificent garden and laid me on a couch. First I was supposed to rest. I was already feeling a little tired, but I heard everything that was going on around me. I heard the words of various spirit beings. Some asked, "Is that Anton? Has he come now? How long will he sleep? When can we talk to him? How long will it take for him to be in there?" And so on. I could still hear all of this clearly, but I couldn't give them an answer. First of all, I felt like a stranger, and secondly, I was tired. Then I noticed that the angels on either side of me were turning away the people who asked questions and saying that they would tell me when the time came for them to talk to me. So I slept, I didn't know for how long. When I opened my eyes, I had the impression that I was somewhere completely different from where I had been led. Later, I was told that it was the same place, but I hadn't been able to make that determination yet, because I was in a certain state of stupor. I wasn't quite awake yet, but I heard what was going on around me, but I couldn't say how long I had been sleeping. That didn't interest me. First of all, I just wanted to look at the surroundings. I found them so beautiful. I then realized that I was in the middle of a village. But later I realized that this village was in a valley, because there were forests and mountains all around, and water cascaded down from the mountains. Everything was in such a beautiful light, I would like to call it the rainbow light. Everything around me glittered so much. The forests, the mountains, the water, everything had these rainbow colors. I thought I couldn't see properly, and I kept trying to stroke my eyes with my hands to wake myself up properly, so that I could see properly. But I couldn't see anything other than this variety of colors, this strange light. Then I saw that a stream flowed through the middle of this valley, and this stream made its way down into the depths. I was also led to the top of such a mountain. From this mountain I had a wonderful view. Of course, I was accompanied to this height and explained to me that there were different spheres there and everything was populated by souls. I looked far and wide and had the impression that everything was so wonderful, so colorful and beautiful. But someone corrected me and said, "You are now looking down from the heights, but you must not believe that all the villages you see are as beautiful as ours. It is not true. All the same splendor of colors as ours," they explained to me. Of course, I soon understood that it was a heavenly sphere in which I now lived. They also accompanied me back down into the valley. I admired everything in this valley. The houses were built in such different ways. There was a whole row of houses that were in the same style, but then, a little further away and, you could say, isolated again, you noticed other buildings that were also so strange and beautiful. I often walked along the stream that flowed through the middle of this valley and enjoyed all this beauty. My parents lived with me, or I lived with my parents, also in a house like this, which was so strangely beautiful. My parents were good, decent people, and so we had an apartment together in this house. But we did not live alone. The house had many floors and different families lived in it. So I considered myself extremely lucky that I was able to live with my parents. At the beginning, when I was in the world beyond and lived with my parents, we always received a lot of visitors. There were friends from the same sphere who paid us a visit. They introduced themselves, said that they lived nearby and that they were doing the same task together and were happy to give each other advice. They wanted to be a family. So I didn't worry about my task yet, because my parents said that I should just enjoy this heaven, and the visitors who came advised me the same thing. First I should look at the heaven in which I lived and then I could start on my tasks. That was what they had recommended. I also noticed that various beings who wanted to come near the house were denied entry. I wanted to know, why are they not allowed to come into my house, to be my guests, like the others? And I was told that it would come to that. But first they, and by that they meant the angels of God, wanted to talk to me, and then there would be enough time to receive those other beings. But I wanted to know who they were, what it sounded like when they called my name. Then these angels of God said to me, "Yes, you know, they are all from this sphere, and they would like to have contact, a connection with you, because you are supposed to do them a favor. But there is still time for that." "Isn't it neglect on my part," I asked them, "if I don't receive them, if I don't help them?" "Oh no," they said, "it won't be too long, and then you will meet them." Because first they still had so much to tell me. I had also noticed that those who were allowed to come to me all looked particularly well-groomed and beautiful. I therefore knew immediately that they were either siblings who had already earned great merit or that they were the angels of God, who are always beautiful. But I had asked to be allowed to receive some of those who tried to come to my house, some of them. I was then allowed to do so. And 10 of their siblings came to me and brought me small gifts. One brought me a beautiful ring that I could put around my head, another brought me a piece of fabric that was embroidered all over, yet another brought me a beautiful, I would almost say, fiery stone. It was really beautiful. Everything was so beautiful in this world. They brought me gifts, but I did not want to accept them, but I was asked to accept these gifts and to keep them for myself. But I asked them, "What do you want from me?" At first they didn't want to give me the answer, but said, "You know, there are still many out there who would like to greet you. They also have smaller and larger gifts, they would also like to give you joy." Then I had to say, "Yes, if my higher brothers and sisters don't allow it, then I can't say yes to it." And these angels of God said that later everyone would be allowed, but now I should be satisfied with those who had greeted me. So I asked them to say what was going on, what they wanted from me. Then one of them had the courage to explain, "You know, your parents have known for a long time that you would be coming very soon. And we knew that you would bring great merits from your life on earth. We also knew that we could count on your help, and we only want one thing, that you go with us. You know, there are so many poor souls, we are always begged to help the poor souls. We do what we can, what we are allowed to do, but we cannot help all souls. If someone comes to us who has special merits, then he has a greater right, he can accomplish more. And because we know that you have such merits, we would like to implore you to come with us." "You know," said one, "I have a brother and I always go there to comfort him, but if you come, then I know that you can ease his situation, you will manage to free him from the greatest distress." Then another interrupted him and said, "You know, I have a friend who is not well either. I always go to him, I pray with him, I comfort him, but I cannot do anything else for him. But if you come, then I know for sure that you can also ease his situation, perhaps you can even take him out of distress." And then another one came and said something similar. So I was supposed to go with them to these suffering brothers and sisters and then I should be able to improve their situation a little. Yes, I had to be amazed at myself and I asked myself whether that was really true, because these brothers and sisters who came to me all looked so beautiful and I had the impression that they had the same right as me and the same strength and ability to work. Then I was taught, that's it, everyone who comes has the opportunity to help the poor souls. But depending on the merits you bring with you, you have a greater right and more opportunities to help the poor souls. If you come with spiritual wealth, that counts with the high angels of God and you have a greater right even though you are in the same sphere. So they all wanted me to come with them. Because that's how my mother had told me, "You know, we told them that you would come. We watched you in life, we were just waiting for you to come.